Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 321 for November 29th, 2021. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and you should be seeing my screen right now, and I'm going to display whatever we talk about throughout this episode. So today I've arranged for Anka Metcalf and Norman Hallett to join us, as well as the option professor to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Sure. Okay, guys. Pretty big 48 hours here to talk about, so we're going to get into it. And before we get into it, let's introduce ourselves. So starting out with Norm, a little background on yourself, Norm, and what's going on at your company.
Okay, do I have to wear a mask during this?
I don't think so. Not according to Santos, anyway.
Okay, social distancing. My name is Norman Hallett. I'm known as the disciplined trader because my focus has always been on the mental and emotional issues of traders. I believe that 90% of traders are struggling, and I believe it's directly because 90% of traders do absolutely nothing or next to nothing about maintaining their mental and emotional abilities and consistencies in trading. So that's where I'm focused. I do a little bit on the on simple trading plans because I have come across a number of people with lousy trading plans, but you won't find them in this group with Anka and Jim. So I'm going to stick to the mental and emotional here. The disciplined trader has been around for a while. Just about two decades now. So that's what I'm about, and I'm really glad to be here today.
Sure. Great. And of course, in the last 48 hours, the mental aspects of the market has been never more important or obvious that you need to have a good set of disciplines in order to, endure. Anka, a little bit about yourself and again, what's going on down at your company?
Okay. So hi, everyone. And thank you for having me on the show. So my name is Anka Metcalf, and I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com, which is a trading education firm that focuses on educating individuals how to day trade, swing trade, basically all asset classes, whether it's futures or stocks, so cryptocurrencies or Forex, any asset class. We also provide services that back up the education that we provide. We have transparent track record on our website. So if you go under our services, you can find that very easily at the bottom of the page. I have been a professional independent trader focused on futures, equities, and I've also been trading a lot Forex, but for the last about 8 years or so, I have transitioned mostly to currencies via futures, and I have been doing this for about 18 years. And prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come with 10 plus years in investment banking. I'm also the designer of a proprietary trading system that is based on price support resistance, but there's a little catch to this because my focus is on confluence support resistance. So what that means is that I'm focused more onto support or resistance areas that provide inflection points for price and where you have multiple layers that are colliding into the same area, same location. Also, specific trigger types. I've been day trading for a very long time, for over two decades, and I have developed specific trigger times about 5 years into the process of my switcheroo of careers. And these trigger times are predominantly happening every single day at specific times. And they develop specific setups. So I like to combine that confluence price or resistance along with the trigger time. And of course, the specific price and added to this chart synchronicity and divergency, because that is so important. Stick with the strong assets in a strong market and the weak assets into a weak market. And that way you're going to see much more easier follow through into your targets.
Okay, sounds great. And again, we'll get into it further, but in the last 48 hours, obviously having a game plan and having discipline would be a very good thing in your pocket. That's what Norm can help you with. And either shorter term trading or swing trading, keeping things on a relatively short leash, be it bullish or bearish, has certainly been worthwhile in the last 48 hours as well. So with regards to our first question of the week, always is S&P opened up at 46.28. The low today, 46.25. I'm using SPX as a indicator. And we're currently up quite a bit. So between 46.28 today on the opening, where are we going to be by Friday? Starting with Norm.
Well, that was a pretty dramatic move yesterday. And my feeling is that we will be lower than we are right at this print right now, by the end of the week.
Okay. And your confidence level is better than 50-50, or what do you think?
My confidence level is around the 65, 66 and three quarter area, two thirds.
Yeah.
I love that.
And that's it. Two thirds is good. That's a majority to get somebody in trouble. I forgot. Is it a lawsuit or two thirds majority? No, it's, I think it's in the House of Representatives.
Well, I have
I heard that two thirds majority sometime. I'm having a flashback. I can't remember where. All right. So let's talk about Anka's view. 4628. The horses are running. Where will they end up?
I think they're going to, this week, we're going to end up over 4,700 in S&P.
Okay.
My conviction level would be, my conviction level would be about 80 to 85%.
Okay. Well, you know, I did a little history myself on the VIX. And, you know, in the last year, when we went towards 25, 35 on the VIX, it either was a low point and within 1 or 2 weeks, we were right back up at the highs, or in September, October, it was about 1 month. So when this VIX jumps up towards the 25, 35 neighborhood, it has correlated to a very good buy point. And it does look like that 45, 85 temporarily is not a bad point to defend, huh?
Right.
Yeah, that's, I think, where you're thinking. It's going to be similar to the other drops where the turnaround time was very brief.
Correct.
I got you. I'm with you. And like I say, that's not that's certainly not unreasonable, because history actually, that's the way it has worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, a week or two can mean you get choppy action. And I think that's where Norm's coming in, is that, you know, we're getting a nice big jump and then we could have some problem at 46.8. Where's your numbers where we could have problems this week, Norm? You must have some.
Well, you know, the thing is that with markets like this, and I do expect a lot of chop. I mean, we've already seen kind of markets swinging. I have, and it's very seldom, I don't think you've ever heard me talk about fundamental influences on my trading, but I'm looking over the next couple of weeks of looking at actually trading the short side of this with close stops.
Okay.
And the reason is what's happening as far as I'm looking for that third storm that will make the perfect storm. The first storm is this is Omicron, of which I pledged, incidentally, in the 60s, but the Omicron variant and what's going on with the debt ceiling, which I think is an important factor coming into what's going to play in the market over the next couple of weeks as that date gets closer. I'm looking for whatever that third thing is, which really could cause.
Or could it be the infrastructure thing gets stalled out in the Senate?
That could be it. But, you know, I think that there's, I don't know that people know the meaning of that yet. But yeah, I mean, it could be that. But I think the market could be susceptible to, I mean, I'm looking here at the chart that you have right up here that, you know, that it's a kind of a classic looking double top. But we've already taken a lot of the energy out of that with yesterday's movement. Today's response is typical for what the market's been doing for the last 10 years.
Right.
But I do think we're ahead and chopper, but I do think those fundamental factors are keeping me away from wanting to be long for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And also, if we get a big jobs report Friday, and it looks like the Fed taper could be accelerated in the middle of December, that's another factor as well, I guess, right?
That could be that's more likely to be a third storm on the horizon.
Yeah.
But it usually
if it turns out to be like September and October, then there's going to be a lot more wood to chop. If it turns out to be the other VIX spikes that we've had, then Anka probably has got her parameters set to the right measurements. At any rate, let's go and look at some of the things you're looking at. Norm, you alluded to a few of them. Anka, what are some of the ones you're looking at, you know, factors that are going to come into play as we look down the street?
Okay. So first of all, I'm not buying the new variant. It doesn't mean that the variant is not there. So no, don't get me wrong. But I don't believe that fear was the driving factor for the market lower on Friday. No, it was a combination of low volume, high volatility. The market was open only half the day. And I think it was a forced sell, which institutions are often doing just to buy cheaper. This this way. They drove the price lower. I mean, for example, in the Dow, we just had like what, more than 1,000 points from last week. And for example, last week, we had a high of 4740, I believe it was. And then it came down to 4587. Well, that's a really appealing spot. Plus it rotated off of the 10 yep. EMA on the weekly chart. And that is a highly technical point that institutions are looking for. So they just bought on discount into the 4580 area. So yep. it was a really technical move on their behalf. And I was actually talking to someone on Friday saying that I'm pretty sure we're going to get a bounce, if not a gap up on Monday, that will continue with the rally. Right. The other thing is that Biden showed up today and he said that there are not going to be any lockdowns this winter. So quote mm-hmm. unquote, this winter. So I don't know what's going to happen for, you know, later on, but at least he said that there are not going to be any lockdowns this winter. So that means that the market is free and clear of any kind of problems that are going to come from this side of the story. So I think it was all narrative, the sell. I think it was a highly technical sell. The market
and,
is
well, Anka, do you think it also was stop loss selling?
Yes, absolutely. They clearly stopped. Absolutely. So what happens when they do these forced sells, a lot of traders are having their have their stops. So what happens is that algos have short triggers where those stops are because they know where the majority of traders have their stops. So they're betting on buying from them to short. So borrowing from them to short. So that's why we saw the snowball that happened on Friday because it was low volume. And this is what they did. They rolled it down and now they bought it back up. Mm-hmm. So basically what happened is in less than a, let's say in a trading session, if you're looking at the futures market close to, let's say 21 hours now, we have recuperated and we're back into the Friday highs. We're actually trading above Friday's levels. So that means that basically Friday was totally erased. And this is the driving factor that makes me believe that it was a forced sell activity. And I even said it on Friday, this doesn't smell like a fear sell. It doesn't have the components for a fear sell. So I also have, in mind, we have such a rich agenda this week. We have Powell that is testifying tomorrow and on Wednesday. We have an OPEC meeting later on Thursday. And then like you mentioned, you know, we have unemployment rates on Friday. We have average hourly earnings. We have a lot of things that are happening this week and a lot of things that can change the trajectory of the market. But what I'm seeing with the technical patterns, so if you're completely a technical trader, and I am 99.9% technical trader, I do pay attention into earnings to fundamentals because I do come from the fundamental side and I can't ignore that. But this is such a strong technical rotation buy that you're seeing right now into the S&P. We just took out Friday's high. So that is the buy formation. I know it is into a prior pivot low, and that prior pivot low is I think it was November 10th when we had the last dip into the market, but we started buying off of that. So if you put your cursor a little bit over that prior pivot low, right there, exactly. Over that prior pivot low, you can see that we're actually triggering a little bit higher right now.
Yeah. So where's that around? 4660 and 4680, right? That
exactly. So if you put your cursor just at the bottom of the wick, okay, you can see that that is the exact level when they started to buy this today at the New York trading session. That's the level where they started to buy. So it's technically super interesting. And as you can see, we are pretty much free and clear to navigate towards the 4,700 into the top of Thursday's candle. And that's where the 4,700 is. And we were stuck there into that 47 because option expiration.
Yeah.
And they pinned it for the longest time into the 4,700. So from 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So,
but, you know, would either of you guys want to opinionate on the jobs report? If the jobs report were to come out very hot, would that be gasoline on the Fed? Let's call it for the market. Water on the market as the Fed would be more inclined inclined to have to accelerate their tapering if we had a really hot report Friday. Conversely, if the report is a little mixed or a little weaker, would that be the green light for the stock market? Because that would take the Fed out of the ballgame as far as any kind of accelerated tapering. What do you think, Norm, about?
I just think it's going to be the reaction there. I think it's going to largely be wherever the market is at that point. I think I'll have a better idea. I like the movement. You got to be impressed again with the market movement today, but I'm not convinced. I'm a guy that generally waits for the close. Yeah. And I just don't think we're going to close in this area that we're even in right now. It's just I'm not long. I'm not short. In other words, I am a technical trader. I think anybody that has long-term success really bends toward the technical.
I'm leaning to the word chop, but I
think there's enough for me. What I like to do is to choose a preferred side and trade from that side.
Okay.
Because that helps me to be more determined for
more clear, more clear.
Yeah. It keeps me, and I'm willing to get stopped out, with short.
Losses. If you're going south on I-95, you'd like to have that as your main, direction, as opposed to getting off at every five exits and turning around all the time.
Right. Like I said, for the next 2 weeks, I'm favoring the short side and I'm not, I'm not trading off the daily, I'm looking.
Your general theory is that we've had a double top around 47.40. The market is on the defensive. It had a rally here today. Rather than trying to buy the rally, you're looking for some type of a resistance that it's going to stop and maybe give you another opportunity to play for another rendezvous towards the lower end.
That's right. In fact, maybe even a check of the October low. But I just think that there's a better possibility now than there have been in a couple of the previous corrections that this may not be over because of those fundamental factors I think Anka just rattled off four or five other reports that may encourage disappointment in the Dow. So I'm looking toward the south side and I'm waiting for the trigger. And I need to see what this market closes at today. I mean, tomorrow, what the expectation for me was to see a rebound of some sort today, but then a fade. Yeah. The counter days are usually on Tuesday. Maybe that's just an old rule that's in the back of my head, but that's what
turn around Tuesday, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you look at the graph, a lot of what we're talking about is very much illustrated. Anka's view is it's going to be more like the pullbacks we had in June, July, August, where we come down and test the blue line, then we get right back above the yellow line, and then we're off to the races a little bit. And of course, that's what it looks like it's doing right now. But if it does turn out to be more of a September, October view, then obviously we're going to violate the blue line, and then we're going to have some white knuckles for a little while, but then ultimately it might get back on the bicycle again.
I mean, looking to go higher is the favorite horse here right now. I mean, it's 5-2.
To be honest with you, and the price evidence right there obviously illustrates that is the bet.
Yeah.
Because it does look very similar to the turnarounds we saw in the other months that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Of course, like you say, if this thing goes home underneath the yellow line and for whatever reason takes out the blue, then obviously, a more severe correction like September, October could be in the cards. But that's not what it's saying right now.
But I'd be interested in asking Anka a question because of her banking background, and that's her view of the where the 30 where the bond is trading right now.
Yeah, Anka, do you want to opine on the interest rate picture, which obviously has been very volatile, and that's why the stock market volatility probably picked up. Like you were saying, it wasn't the variant that caused that sell off; it was probably the volatility that the bond market had when yields went up towards 170. Yet the stock market volatility remained rather low on Friday. They decided to get that volatility back in line with the bond volatility. So now we are where we are. The 30-year is closer to 190-ish and change. 10-year is back above 150. How do you feel the interconnection between the yield on 10-year and 30-year are and the S&P?
And I want to go back a little bit to the discussion that Norman was pointing out. And I said that, for this week, I see it at 4,700 just because it has a really massive upside on the trading day. day today, and it came with relative volume. So the bounce back did not come on low volume. So it's a little bit more sustainable. Mm-hmm. So I do like the 4,700. However, I do want to point out that if we take out Friday's low, only then and only then I'm going to be very short-term bearish. I'm not going to be long-term bearish. I don't see any devaluation. I don't see anything else. And plus, if you take a look at the stock market and individual stocks, you have like tons of massive support and also rotations that are happening throughout. Even on the Dow stocks, the Dow has been relatively weak with Russell relatively weak. So that's why, you know, I really don't put a lot of effort into trading these short days or whatever is happening into these short days. I really don't care. Because short trading sessions, that is on Friday, because they're really not true to price. But you're getting a lot of action, for example, in stocks like Home Depot, like Apple, like Google, massively up today. You have Nvidia, all these tech stocks, Microsoft, Facebook, Netflix is holding really well. Amazon is holding really well. So you have a plethora of NASDAQ stocks that are holding. You have oil, which is pretty much today stabilizing. So it's not highly to impact. So as long as you have a pretty robust financials, because we were talking about financials. Financials actually on Friday, after the big momentum to the downside, they popped up a little bit, right? So they formed in some cases double bottom or inside formations, and they started to pop up. So I'm looking at the JP Morgan, the Bank of America, et cetera, you know, all of these companies that are all of these stocks that are under the Dow, and because the Dow was the one that had the relative weakness. Yes. But I could see like a pretty solid rotation even in the Dow stocks. For example, UNH is at a trigger point right now. It's at a super important inflection point, and from this point on, it's going to go higher. For example, you know, Boeing has been stabilizing. But to go back to the bonds, so to me, bonds are totally unattractive at this point. There's no telling or forecasting what the relation or what they're going to be doing, because there's not interest built into the technical patterns. So once you don't have the interest into the technical pattern, then the narrative is not going to follow. So so for this week, there is one level that I'm watching in the 30-year. So whether you're watching bonds futures or I'm just going to give a trigger point for bonds futures, or whether you're watching TLT. But for bond futures, for example, there's a 161.27. So if it trades above that point, that's where a little bit of interest is going to come in. Not a lot, because it really needs to prove itself. I would just stay away, and I'm staying away from bonds. I am not even looking at the reaction in bonds. I'm mostly looking at the interaction between stocks, valuation, earnings. This is 100% my focus right now.
Yeah. Gotcha. I've been noticing that the quote unquote reopening trade has really been not very good. So we've got Carnival Cruise has had a 52-week high of 31. It's trading at 18. And if you turn towards the Marriott, you'll find it had a 52-week high of 171. It's at 153. And if you look towards MGM Grand, your casinos, it had a 52-week high of 51. It's trading at 41. So does it seem to you guys that if money's coming into the market, they're going to go to your large cap stuff like Nvidia and Microsoft and Google and Facebook and that kind of stuff, and they don't really believe in this opening story? What do you think, Norm?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, but I'm going to step aside for that because that's not really my area of concentration.
Okay, yeah.
I concentrate primarily on, I do a lot of foreign currencies in futures, and and I do some stocks on my own, but that particular question I wouldn't be capable.
Oh, let's go over to the dollar. Dollar is, people thought it was going to have some problems here at 94, or it's at 96. Are you a believer we're going to 100 on this thing, or do you believe this area up here could be a resistance?
Well, you know, I believe that the whole inflation scare has been overdone, and I may be wrong. There's a lot of people smarter than I that believe it. But in looking at some of the pricing action of some of the commodities that I watch, like the soybeans and some of the softs, I just think that the inflation story, a lot of it is behind us and not ahead of us, and therefore I'm expecting the dollar to to not to do much from here. I think it's more of a, this is the kind of, I mean, look at, am I looking at it right now?
Yeah. In other words, it's meandering higher, you know, but this is the agricultural one. Let's go back to the dollar real quick so you can talk about that. And then we will talk about soybeans because, you know, they had a big run up to 17 almost. They went back to 12 and it'd be interesting to see if you think this is an area where it's the low.
If you go way back to April, you'll see a peak there. It's a nice looking round bottom, isn't it? Mm-hmm. With a double bottom. I mean, I expect some accumulation here in the dollar because I think the inflation picture is going to be confusing. But I just think that, that story is behind us. And anytime a market moves based on that, I'd be looking to fade it. But again,
what currency of choice do you have? Yen?
Euro? Well, my currency of choice is really right now, although the euro dollar has really been very, very, very been steady and beautifully perfect for a technical analyst. I tend to move toward the Japanese yen.
All right, because, let's take a look at the yen.
Because again, my basic story about the stock market being a little susceptible here. And I'm only talking about the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because in the next couple of weeks, the susceptibility, you know, the Japanese yen has somewhat become some sort of a hedge against volatility. Kind of, it hasn't taken the place of gold in any respect. But I think that if you're looking for a situation that you can control in the currencies and you wanted to go against what you're seeing right here, if you believe that what you're seeing is the beginning of a bottom, even though the market has...
So look at that divergence on your RSI. You got to like that, don't you, Norman?
Yeah, well, I do. I was going to bring that up. You and I always talk about that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we really haven't extended, even with this move, past something ugly. So, I can see it. What is that? Is that the 20 and the 50? What am I looking at? The 20 and the moving averages?
The moving averages are 21 and 50.
21 and 50. I look at the 8 a lot, as you know, the 8 exponential.
Well, that's a short leash, right?
And of course we've killed that through here, but I many times the market will back up. You can see on the way down how it backs up toward the important moving averages and then extends. But you can see that, see the right in the middle there, you're almost there. It's I guess the 15th of November, right around there.
Yeah, you got a buy signal right there.
Well, I got that sell signal. See that sell signal right there? It's the longest bar in the recent chart. Oh no, to the left, 5 bars to the left. That one right there. That hesitation when you have a series of small bodies and then that move through the 8, that is a very huge signal to me on the short side, on the short term side. And you can see how the market matured toward until we got a very similar formation here, where you had a couple of bodies of hesitation. Again, I look at the bodies and then a strong movement to the upside, which usually would correct toward to the moving average and then continue from there. So, I'm looking for some upside here, and I'm looking for some reason to believe it. I don't have my money in it yet, but I do think that once we start developing a technical look, I think this market could have legs to at least the right around the 90 level. So that's what I'm looking at as far as currencies are concerned. But it's got to get past 80, 88.50, and so on.
Sure. Hey, Anka, I got a quick question for you.
Yes.
Growth versus value. I watched the growth to value ratio, so that's had me very positive on growth for the last couple of months after we had a big slide in growth. So after the, September, October drop, growth, which means, tech and, growth stocks, SPYG or XLK, to use two of them, mm-hmm. they seem to have been the place to be. As you look forward, if rates are not going to be going above 175 on the 10-year, wouldn't growth and tech be totally the place to be?
I think so too. But, here's what I'm thinking, going back a little bit to what you actually have asked Norman. The truth of the matter is that I think that what happened on Friday was a little bit of, how should I put this?
An anomaly?
Manipulation.
It was what?
Okay. Manipulation. I think the market was heavily manipulated on Friday.
Yeah.
It was really bizarre because I was sitting here and I was actually managing my trades and I was giving, you know, some of the stocks that are in that I'm in a little bit of room just because I saw what was happening in the market. I was like, this is not true to price. And I also saw, like, at the same time, literally at the same time where the fear of the new coronavirus variant was coming in, Pfizer and Moderna, Moderna was up 22%. Okay. So I think that at this point, and all of the stocks, all the coronavirus stocks, I have a whole list of coronavirus stocks, including the tech stocks that you were saying, you know, the growth stocks and everything else. And they didn't really have sharp pullbacks, or even if they had sharp pullbacks, they took the price to extremely to the penny technical levels,
right?
Where they would accumulate again. So that's why I'm thinking that this may not be, that sell-off that, you know, we're thinking. Plus, if you look at, you know, seasonality speaking, this is a pullback time. And remember that markets always kind of pull back, whether, you know, it is in December in the first week or the second week, because we are going to experience a rough patch in December. And that's because we're going to have quadruple witching option expiration. But a week before that, we're going to have the futures contract roll, which is a big deal because that's going to be a lot of pinning there as well. Mm-hmm. The volume is going to drip into the March contract. We're still going to have this contract open for about a week. So there's a lot of, there are a lot of things that are going on there. Plus, you know, we're pretty much getting ready for the holidays. Let's see if we're going to get a Santa Claus rally. Then we're getting ready for window dressing, January effect. So there are a lot of things that are happening in December. And I think that a lot of times and throughout the charts, throughout price history, we could see that we have this dip usually just a couple of days after Thanksgiving. So the fact that now it came right a day after, it was a little bit bizarre that this pullback happened, and the pullback happened like in half the trading session and on low volume. And typically, if you look throughout the chart on any kind of chart, you will definitely see, like an SPX or any other chart, you will see that the pullbacks are so quick and so steep. They want to get it over with in a day, maximum 2 days, and done.
Yep. No, that's what's been going on. Except for September, October, where they extended a little bit more time.
Exactly. And that was because we had quadruple witching option expiration.
So you're saying the risk is that could come into play again.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Well, I'll tell you a little sidebar. You know how you were saying, you know, this variant stuff is really overdone.
Yep.
And it's probably not going to be the most popular. I like to read everything. So I'm a Jeopardy guy, you know. The most popular word in the Merriam-Webster dictionary for 2021 is vaccine.
Yeah.
So when the most popular word in the dictionary is vaccine, it's not the bottom.
You know, the whole idea of these quick corrections in the market that used to take a week or 2 weeks and now happen in hours or maybe a day maximum.
Exactly.
Really kind of flies in the face of some of the old adages that I talk about, including, you know, pullback Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think people have to respect what they're seeing and not what they're feeling when they take a look at markets. That's why I always learn something from Anka, because in general, I think that, you know, when you've seen markets from the banking area, you have kind of a conservative view. And yet, I don't think Anka is willing to take chances, which I think makes you an interesting individual. So I agree that, this is a whole new, the last couple of years has really been a whole new ball game as far as, I mean, look at this run that we're looking at.
Well, it comes from liquidity. I mean, there's only one word you need to explain the whole chart. It's liquidity.
Right.
And liquidity is tremendously in there. Ergo, the prices are tremendously high. And that's the risk in 2022 and 2023 is that the liquidity is taken away. And obviously, it's hard to keep the balloon going if the oxygen starts getting taken out, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a longer term view. But Yeah. Norm, with regards to any other things that you're seeing coming up, because again, you know, your viewpoint is really from the standpoint of there's a likelihood of chop in the near term, which means you're going to, you know, get some back and forth action. And then, of course, if you start to, like Anka says, you start taking out last week's low, then you better hold on to the highs of September, which are 45.40. And I've got a 12 SMA on my 5-year graph that comes in at 45.40. So those are a couple of lines in the sand if the lows get taken out. But
I think just some of the things that I do with my trading plan when I'm looking at markets that I expect to be highly volatile and choppy is I do things like I don't hold positions overnight, for instance, no matter how strongly I feel about something.
Right.
I plan a trade before I take the trade. In other words, if something pops out at me and I didn't plan for it, I generally don't take that trade. If I believe that something is about to occur based on my technical truths and it happens for me, those are the trades that I take. So I take trades that I plan. I take and I don't hold things overnight. These are the kinds of things that I do in a choppy market too, because I'm always defend. The great thing about these markets is that they run all the time.
Right.
And you can make a lot of money on a 5-minute currency chart that can just run of 5 or 6 cents in the matter of three when you had a 40 point risk. So I trade off the shorter charts.
Finding the currencies have enough volatility to make it worth your time.
Absolutely. I mean it's been terrific with the euro dollar and the those are the two that I focus on and the Japanese yen.
I'm going to turn over to Anka in 1 second about some sectors, but I wanted to talk to you, Norm, about a couple of things. We talked a little bit about the grains. There could be some possibility in there, but let's talk about two things real quick, the metals and oil. Let's look at the gold and get a viewpoint on how you're feeling there. Because, you know, it gave you a nice look like it was breaking out at 1870 and then boom, they pulled the rug out again. So what's going on here? Is this a head fake again? And now we're in the tank, or is this?
Well, I think you're looking at an equilibrium type price here, right around 1750 and 1800.
Plus or minus.
Yeah, I think that's where this market kind of belongs here. I haven't really been trading this unless it gets closer to 18, you know, gets over 1800 or below it. But I've got my attention more on the, and you've noticed there's been a separation of action between gold and silver. I mean, sometimes you'll see silver up strongly.
So you like the silver better?
I like copper.
Copper. Okay. Let's throw the copper up there. Copper above $4 looks like a reasonable place, right?
Well, I mean, it hasn't been below $4, but
as a base, $4 as your base. Yeah.
I mean, it's got a nice base, but you can see that it's again, as it gets closer to the $4 level, 420, I'm looking at places to go long. This is the daily.
Listen, Norm, real quick, do you think we have a position here where we hit a low just under 425. We had a move to 450. Now there's your pullback. And now the next move is your three move, which is going to take out 450 and go.
Well, I have not quite yet. I think we need to see what happens with the last couple of days. That's the formation that concerns me. Again, when you have a certain degree of small bodies followed by a larger one through, you don't have to have the, is that the eight there? Through that moving average. I think we'll probably test 5 or 10 cents lower before we see what happens. I mean, it looks like to me we're going to test that low, but you know, who knows? I mean, we could be looking at a little head and shoulders bottom here. But all I'm saying is this is not a tradable entity right here. But I like staying in markets that I believe have a chance to run. And I think again with the bills that they're going through Congress and the bill that was just passed, once some of this market money is appropriated, I think you'll see some spending, some copper demand, and I think this market could show us. I follow
the stocks on it, and like I say, this looks like about a 61% drop off of the move from 418 to 450. So that is a neighborhood of look at. Like I'd watch it very closely because you know if it does start going up, copper is supposedly very tight in supply, and to get new copper is very tough. And you don't have to worry about Bitcoin being digital copper. So you know I think copper, and of course, like you're saying. thing, these infrastructure things going on and stuff like that. It's really got a great story on a supply demand situation. And technically, if it can hold this pullback and starts getting above your yellow and blue, and then starts getting above the 450, it could be a very exciting market in the months ahead, huh?
Yeah, I think so. And that's why I tried to, even though I don't see, I'm not making claim to what I expect here, other than let's see what happens from this sideways movement.
I think that
when you break one way or the other, and it could be lower. That's going to be a series of trades that I think you can make some pretty good money on.
Yeah. So you like that copper. And now let's turn over to the oil real quick, because I want to get over to Anka and ask her a couple of questions on her ideas. You know, these guys at JP Morgan, I just was hearing on Bloomberg, they're talking like way over $100 and way over $100 after that. And the next, you know, they're looking just for the huge bull market here. And, you know, they're pretty cheap right now. So can you put the actual price of crude up and get an idea? And if you go back maybe on a 10-year graph or something long-term, because these guys are talking.
That's a WT crude.
And this is only going back. If we could go back longer, get a perspective like when it used to be way higher, you know, maybe something like a 5-year or something like that, where, you know, you encompass that move above 100. They got a longer term chart there. Yeah. Okay. So that gives you a little bit of a wide perspective on, you know, and they're according to their, this is what I just heard on Bloomberg. They're looking forward to blow out 100 and go way up into this white area up there. Mm-hmm. And if that's, and of course the trend is pointing that way. So they're not, totally smoking something. If we start making new highs above 82, 85, you know, who knows, right? But if that's, did you believe in that view that it could be going up into that neighborhood?
I think that the majority of the inflation story is over. Just my own, again, I will say something about trading oil, trading the crude oil contract on a daily basis where you're out at the end of the day. It's been very, if you have the mind that if we're very high in at some point in the day, look for places to go the other way, because there's been many, many times, I mean, the market is confused where to go right now, which means we could be $1 or $2 higher, and then all of a sudden by the end of the day be $2 lower. That's a lot of money in crude, and that's been, you can't see it on the chart.
No.
Because sometimes it'll go down, then it'll come back up. It looks like a line, you know, it looks like it started lower and ended high.
It looks stable, and it's not been stable at all.
Yeah, halfway during the day. So I think you got to go to some of the shorter term charts we're looking at trading, but it's a great market to be trading. And I will say that the half contract in crude oil is another terrific contract.
Yeah.
For smaller accounts. Yeah. I would say even the larger accounts can be scaling in and out with that half contract.
Yeah.
And when you get moves like this, I mean, the market moves, it's a $500 move in a half contract when you move a dollar. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And
from your history, Norm, one of the biggest pitfalls for traders with the futures is leverage. And so if you can manage leverage by going to the mini contract, you're probably going to be in there for a lot longer lifespan than if you go with the big ones.
And that's exactly why I like the currencies in the futures market, because, you know, we're talking about $125 for every penny in these currencies. And, you know, you can take 3 or 4 positions in a $25,000 or $50,000 account and be very comfortable with where you are if you like to scale in and scale out, or I like to take a position right from the beginning on a trigger and then scale out as it's maturing and leave, you know, the last one for what I call lewd and lascivious, if it's going to do that. But that's my style of trading. And
sure.
But there's a lot of styles that can be met and traded successfully when you have a small contract like that, that has a lot of action.
Yeah. A lot of volume in and out, easy, good, pretty good, nice. A bit offers, yeah. That kind of thing. Hey, Anka, I know, you know, that you like to catch some good volatility, and that's, you know, kind of a great thing to catch, you know, obviously nice short-term moves or swing moves that can really give you some money. Do you see, I was going to ask you a couple of questions. These ones that were out of favor, like PINS, P-I-N-S, or Snap, or Zoom, DocuSign, Twitter, Lyft, are you, Anka, seeing any opportunities there, or is that still catching a falling knife, or what do you think?
I don't even have these stocks right now on my radar because I've been focusing on movers, and I don't think anybody should be focusing on stocks that are dripping throughout the end of November and into December, because because they're moving lower for a reason.
Yep.
They can be picked up as the January effect in January and not now. So technically speaking, institutions are still going to continue to dump if they still have positions that are getting ready for the year end window dressing.
Yeah.
So they're not going to get picked. So, you know, the snap, the pins, in fact, pins right now, even though it's not support, you're showing the chart. It's still very weak.
This is very weak. The only good news is the relative strength is definitely giving you a divergence there, a pretty good sign. But again, it's not your cup of tea because you're looking for things that are already, you're looking for cars that are already moving.
Yes, exactly. So I'm looking
You're not looking to do a jump start and hope it works and hope the alternator doesn't work. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. And
you're not a mechanic. You're not a mechanic. You're a driver. I don't repair cars. I get into cars that are already running. You know? All right. So anyway, let's talk about some of yours that you're looking at. Let's give you a few picks out there for people to chew on.
Of course. Well, I did call a trade earlier before I jumped on the show. It was, and I did briefly mention it, UNH. I said the trigger is at 151. Oh, yeah. So UNH already has triggers already 70 cents higher.
Yeah.
And that is a swing trade going into 460 and back into the prior highs, which are into the 466, exactly 466. So that's trade number one. Trade number two is Home Depot with massive strength. We have plenty of support below $400. It's ready to explode higher. And if it trades above the high from last week, it's gone, and it has huge extension going on to the 425, 427. So it can really extend higher.
So your two things, just to give you a little sidebar here, on the healthcare, you know that people are going to be buying into tech and everything else, but they're going to have part of their portfolio in something a little bit more defensive, and healthcare is where that money is coming into, right? I mean, UNH. In other words, if you're going to do healthcare, UNH is the Cadillac, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. You got it.
Your consumer discretionary got whacked after being extended. It had a correction. Now you're thinking if the XLY is going anywhere, Home Depot's in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly my train of thought.
Yep.
And so I think that, look at the beautiful pattern. It rotated today. It has a lot of upside. So XLU is also
okay, the utility. That was real close to some support. So your distance between get out and get in, really 60, I think 66 is your line in the sand, and you can play it long all day long. Until it gets taken out.
Exactly. Look at that beautiful range. Super bullish.
You think it's going to pop 68 and get cooking, huh?
Did you see? I mean, look at last week's low. Look at the Friday low that it put right onto the 20 SMA support area, and now back up.
And they could hardly bring it down.
Yeah.
A crash wouldn't even bring it down, right?
No, it's just so super solid. And you know what is really strong right now? Real estate, XLRE. Yes, XLRE, super strong. Again, continuing to deliver strong ranges. Look at those patterns. I mean, nothing can bring them down.
Yeah, that's a very similar chart because they threw the kitchen sink at the market on Friday and these things took it right in the head and said, okay, I'm going to keep going.
Yes, these two are very strong. And of course, the XLK, the technology.
Yeah, you're.
These are the foremost
top one.
Yes.
That's the strongest of all of them, right?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Look at it. It's just not going any.
I think forward. That's also a statement that rates aren't going higher.
Yeah.
So almost an island bottom there, in a way, at the movement on Friday.
Well, if you go look at their top 10 holdings, it's like every stock you ever wanted to own, you know, because everything in there, every human being is using.
Exactly. that's a good point. Exactly. Yeah.
So if you can't monetize every human being, who can you monetize, right?
Exactly. You got it. Jim.
That's why, the Facebook stuff, when you hear bad news on it, as long as I hear 3 billion eyeballs, I know they're going to get some money out of them, you know?
Of course. It's a buying opportunity.
Yeah, because, you know, like I say, they say all of the... And now that you're looking into the future, and I think it was a very smart thing to change their name, not unlike Alphabet or whatever, you know, they just try to make sure they know it's just not sharing photos with your college teammates, you know what I mean? Which is really the origin of Facebook. Was what, wasn't it like sharing photos of Uncle Joe's birthday party?
Harvard, yeah.
Yeah, so they're trying to do what? They're trying to make sure everybody knows we got a lot of platforms here, we got a lot of stuff going on, and we got a lot more coming on the boat, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because when you get some of these companies like Google and Facebook, you know, you forget you're getting these other companies, which are also hugely valuable.
What am I looking at here? This is not the stock.
Yeah, this is Facebook or Metaverse or whatever.
Oh, this is
what is their new ticker symbol?
I think it's FB still.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm looking at, you know, something without any volume.
Yeah, that looks weird. I don't know.
There you go.
Selected the wrong one.
Yeah. So anyway, but I mean, that's the weakest of all the fangs, you know?
Exactly. And it's still strong.
Yeah. So anyway, Norm, did you have anything like a certain market that you were kind of looking at? I think you mentioned the yen. Is there anything else you're sniffing around that you think?
No, really, the yen, and I've got, you know, that eye on top of it, looking for it to give me some sort of a signal. But again, my focus is seeing what happens in this, so what I consider a possible storm in the horizon, and seeing some actual lower prices in the S&P. And I, when exactly does the Santa Claus rally usually start? Jake was here. Is there a specific date?
I don't know. We're trying to get Jake back on the show here. We got to get him back here to get some of his input because he's very good with seasonality.
What Anka probably
knows. Typically, I've been trading this for over 20 years, the seasonality in December, and they actually can deliver a lot. So typically,
is it after the 7th? Is it after the 7th? Is it after the 15th?
I mean, no, 3 to 4 days before Christmas or 3 to 4 days after.
Okay, great. So my theory may just come out, you know, before then. We'll see a check to even, you know, if it gets real dramatic to the October low. But I wanted to, I want to defer a little bit of my time to Anka, because I know that you've probably been concentrating a little bit on the technicals of Bitcoin. We haven't mentioned
that. Let's hit that one quick.
And I'd be interested to hear her take on it.
Yeah.
On Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some people are saying we've got this huge rally to the end of the year, 100,000 Bitcoin. Do you see that in the cards? It looks like it's trying to get going.
Yeah.
I see it a lot of times as a safety haven, if you will, for a lot of reasons in the market. But I don't think that, you know, Bitcoin is going away anytime soon. Do you have a chart? Oh, you have the chart of Bitcoin. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So
no, I don't think anybody's arguing that it's here to stay. Yeah. The question is,
Question is, are we going to go to 100 grand by the end of the year? That's my question.
Or do we see 40 first, like I'm thinking?
The big unknown. It depends on, you know, if you're an investor, it depends on your time horizon. I don't trade Bitcoin, but I do have GBTC.
Yeah, let's throw that up and see what it looks like, because most people would trade GBTC. There's only 20 million or so wallets or something like that, or 200 million wallets or whatever.
Yes. So GBTC was our surprise trade, let's say, going into election last year, and we picked it up at $10. And right now, as you can see, it's trading, you know, into the 47. So it's a really good investment, and with really less risk than Bitcoin, right? And you have access to your funds immediately.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this is really for a person myself who doesn't want to get involved in virtual wallets. It's the only
game. If you don't want to get involved in that, you have plenty of other opportunities in Bitcoin this way. And I think it's, you know, a better choice, especially if you're
millions and millions and millions of shares. So you want to get in and out, there's somebody there. The other stuff is much more.
Yes,
but anyway,
yes.
Looking at this graph, you would say that if a person wanted to be bullish and
looks
put
pretty
a stop
good,
under,
right? Especially after today's action.
And I'm bullish over 47.50 again. So if you're not in, or anybody's not in, you know, I don't give financial advice, you know, but
no, we're just
that's
talking
trigger
opinion.
Point. Exactly. Yeah. Like 47.50 is the trigger point for the upside with the potential of $50 and back into the $55 back again, and it can potentially go there. Don't forget one thing that a lot of people are going to start getting their Christmas bonuses, and that's one of the reasons why the Santa Claus rally is coming, because if they feel optimistic, they're getting their bonuses and they're opening trading accounts, or you know, institutional traders are putting their money back into the market, and that drives the market higher, and that's the whole reason behind this Christmas rally. because that's the optimism. The money is being put back into the market to work back into the market and deliver more and to create more money.
And to give you an idea, one last thing, Anka, about 20 or 25% of new home buyers are using Bitcoin profits as their deposit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was reported on CNBC. So, hey, people are in there and people have made money on it. And when you have people in there and people have made money on something, if it starts going again, you're not going to twist their arm to buy more.
Sounds like
a black tulip to me a little bit, but
yeah.
But before we wrap it up, I just wanted to mention that, focus. I think that what you're seeing, I think the excitement that you hear in Anka's voice and my voice, and this is a time where really some great things can happen. Everybody kind of tones down at the end of the year, but I think this year there's going to be some opportunities. It's all about focus. And right now till the end of the day, I'm giving a Black Friday. It's thedisciplinedtrader.com /BF, like in Black Friday, thedisciplinedtrader.com/BF. Those are 25 audios, 1 minute audio. We call them 1 minute mastery minutes. I almost call them 1 minute motivators, but they'll get you focused. And that's really what you need in this kind of environment. Gets you focused on your trading plan to follow that. And so that when the market starts to tear you apart, you start getting ideas about maybe what you should do off your plan, you listen to a 60-second market motivator. And that's, we've got 25 of them all for, I think it's $127 rather than $197. It's a great way to have like a vitamin pill right in the middle. So thisfromtrader.com/BF is in Black Friday, and that'll be till the end of today. So thanks for having me on again.
Sure.
And thank you for having me on with Anka. I get to pepper her with questions.
and always, so like pleasure. I said. Yes, I see you, Norman, again. It's such an honor to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to have clarity when you're doing investing. And again, the disciplined trader can get you a little bit on a pathway where you can get some clarity on what you're doing, what you're trying to do, and that kind of thing. So it can kind of settle the waves a little bit in your mind, So Anka, what would you like to let people know about as far as a special offer or anything you'd like to extend right now?
Okay, so we do have a special offer for anybody that wants to join our trading room membership. You can email me directly at info@tradeallow.com and you're going to get a 1 hour class. It's going to be on demand about risk management, so you can take a better advantage. You can take better advantage of the membership. And you can also find us with more products and services at tradeallow.com.
Great. And thanks you guys for being here. Optionprofessor.com. We have a weekly market update you can get just by going to the website and putting your email in, optionprofessor.com. And we have a market alert out on the VIX and what the VIX is telling us as far as the prices right now. So if you wanted to get that alert, go to the optionprofessor.com and we'll get that alert out to you tomorrow. Again, thank you guys. We had a great talk and I think there's a lot of stuff coming up. So we'll be talking again real soon, hopefully. I'm going to send it back over to David right now. And again, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right. Thanks, everyone. So just a quick reminder, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. And you can also just go to timingresearch.com and the archive of this episode will be up as soon as I can get it posted. Also, if you have not watched this yet did not see this, we did a huge Friendsgiving event the week before last. Anka and I co-hosted that. And we had 36 presentations throughout the week, including everyone who was on this broadcast today. So if you have not seen that yet, just go to timingresearch.com and you can scroll back a bit and see all of those presentations and catch up on those when you have a chance. So, all right, that's it for today. Just want to thank my guests again for today. Anka Metcalf of TradeOutLoud.com, Norman Hallett of TheDisciplinedTrader.com, and the Option Professor of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.